Good evening. Let us rise and sing our opening hymn.
Let us now together say the words that our Lord taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day and forgive us our sins as we forgive our sins. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us rise and sing.
Be seated. And now please join with me in our responsive reading for this evening. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Blessed is the man whom thou dost choose and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation. Who by his strength setteth fast the mountains, who stilleth the roaring of the seas, they also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy tokens. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it, thou greatly enrichest it. Thou providest them grain, when thou hast so prepared the earth, thou waterest its furrows abundantly. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. The pastures are clothed with flocks, the valleys also are covered over with grain.
Thank you.
This evening's reading from the Hebrew Scriptures cometh from the second chapter of the book of the prophet Joel, in which he prophesieth of the love of God toward his people. Fear not, O land, but be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness are green, for the tree beareth her fruit. The fig tree and the vine do give their force. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the rain of righteousness, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, even the first rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the barns shall be full of wheat, and the presses shall abound with wine and oil. And I will render you the years that the grasshopper hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great host, which I sent among you. So you shall eat and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt marvelously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. Ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none other. And my people shall never be ashamed. The Psalter reading this night cometh to us from the 126th Psalm, which was made after the return of the people from Babylon, and showeth that the means of their deliverance was wonderful after the 70 years of captivity. When the Lord brought again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with joy. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we rejoice. O Lord, bring again our captivity as the rivers in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. They went weeping and carried precious seed, but they shall return with joy and bring their sheaves. In tonight's gospel passage from the sixth chapter of the Holy Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Matthew, we findeth Christ speaking of God and riches, of careful seeking for meat and drink and apparel as forbidden, and of the kingdom of God and his righteousness. No man can serve two masters, for either he shall hate the one and love the other, or else he shall lean to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and riches. Therefore I say unto you, be not careful for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life worth more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the heaven, for they sow not, neither reap, nor carry into the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking care, is able to add one cubit unto his stature? And why care ye for raiment? Learn how the lilies of the field do grow. They are not wearied, neither spin.
Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not do much more unto you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things seek the Gentiles. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be ministered unto you. Care then not for the morrow, for the morrow shall care for itself. The day hath enough with his own grief. Here end the readings for this evening. Let us pray. O thou who willest not that thy children should walk in darkness, pour the light of thy Spirit into our minds and hearts, that we may discern the true from the false, the good from the evil, and may walk henceforth in the paths of thy wisdom and of peace. Amen. Be glad and rejoice. The prophet Joel tells us tonight multiple times in the more contemporary New Revised Standard Version. As we gather on this eve of our annually appointed day to give thanks as a nation, be glad and rejoice. Sounds like a nice idea, but it can be awfully hard to do. Just this month alone, we hear of world leaders meeting in Scotland to address continuing destruction from our dishonoring God's creation, only to hear from the experts afterward that it wasn't enough. Much closer to home, here in Wisconsin, another racially divisive court trial ends in a way that continues to protect those with power at the expense of those protesting for true justice. We're so bitterly divided as a people. Name calling has become commonplace, and euphemisms about race car drivers named Brandon have become shorthand for the least civil political discourse imaginable. Be glad and rejoice. Wouldn't we rather retreat and hunker down? When we hear Scripture's call to give thanks, to thanksgive, the words should not be taken lightly. The situation out of which they arise are also no fairy tale. Tonight's psalm gives thanks for the return from the Babylonian exile, an event so world-shattering, of such incredible devastation, that it came to be one of the defining marks of the scriptures themselves. So when the psalmist writes, or even sings, again in the New Revised Standard Version, may those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy, Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. Here we have hoping in defiance of very real desperation. A hope that sorrow and trauma and emptiness will be transformed into, in the psalm's own repeated phrase, shouts of joy. How often have we shouted for joy? That is a whole different level of giving thanks, of thanksgiving, of hope and a vision for the future that even amid suffering, the seeds have been planted for something far greater that leads to shouts of joy. In the Bible, such hope for the future is often grounded in the heritage of God's promises remembered. And so, on this 400th anniversary of the first Thanksgiving, it only makes sense to give thanks for hope we can find in our own religious heritage. And so I give thanks, not just for the pilgrims, for their courage, for their principled faith, for their understanding that acknowledging Christ as head of the church meant resisting earthly tyranny, for truly a disciple cannot serve two masters, for their early experiment living in a socialist Christian community, for their willingness to learn from and engage for a time with those most different from them, but also for the tradition they birthed in North America. I give thanks for the tradition of commitment to the most excellent education possible, as shown, for instance, in Congregationalists' founding of Harvard and Yale, because a commitment to knowledge and science is essential for hope and the preservation of creation. And I look forward to the day when we can join Joel in declaring to the earth, "Do not fear, O soil, be glad and rejoice." I give thanks for the well-established tradition of staunch abolitionism and commitment to racial justice as we receive from the likes of Samuel Sewall, Lamell Haynes, those who rendered assistance to the Amistad captives, Harriet Beecher Stowe, and John Brown. Because they have already shown us how Christian discipleship calls us to take action to support brown and black lives, already knowing that they really do matter. I give thanks for the courage of Antoinette Brown in seeking and obtaining ordination in our tradition almost 70 years before national women's suffrage, and being the first woman to do so in all of Christianity since New Testament times, because she certainly persisted. But perhaps most crucially, I give thanks for the theological tradition that while subverting monarchy and resisting actual tyranny, it could at the same time understand the importance of covenantal living that connected Christian freedom with promoting the common good, and that supporting such common good always remains paramount for faithful discipleship. For the true Christian, there is no religious exemption from loving your neighbor. Both the prophet Joel and the psalmist this evening remind their readers that God has done great things for us, and I see that ring true in even our denominational heritage. And so I do give thanks for the insights our history offers to us as we lament all those problems plaguing us today. But remember, according to these scriptures, thanksgiving has to do with planting seeds of hope for the future. So it cannot merely be about counting your blessings from the past. That approach to giving thanks too easily goes down the road of either the self-idolatry of entitlement or the presumption that God has blessed the status quo. Both are blasphemous. Here is where a good grammar lesson can be quite helpful. The act of thanksgiving, to give thanks, is to do something. It is a verb form. It is an action word. It cannot be about sitting on our laurels reminiscing. Rather, to give thanks means we take action. And in good Reformed theology, which of course grounded the thinking of those immigrant separatists we call the Pilgrims, true thanksgiving means we respond out of our gratitude. The 126th Psalm remembers when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Out of gratitude, we are called to use all our gifts, not the least of which includes our very heritage, to make such dreams a reality for not just us, but for all, so that we can join our voices of thanksgiving with others in their shouts of joy. Let us pray. Grant, we beseech thee, Almighty God, that the words which we have heard this night with our ears may, through thy grace, be so grafted in our hearts that they may bring forth in us the fruit of good living to the honor and praise of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Now let us rise and affirm our faith together. We covenant with the Lord and one with another, and do bind ourselves in the presence of God to walk together in all his ways, according as he is pleased to reveal himself unto us in his blessed word of truth. Please. O Lord, our God, the giver of all good, we bless thee for thy never-failing
mercy. Thou hast opened thy hand and hast supplied all our wants. Thou hast loaded us with benefits so that our cup runneth over. Under thy smile, We have had days of joy and prosperity, and in the time of distress, thou hast upheld us and made light to arise upon us when we were in darkness. We give thanks to thee for all the blessings we have received, for all thy promises, and all our hopes of good to come. We magnify and praise thy glorious name, O Lord God Almighty, for all thy goodness to us. Blessed be thou, Father of all mercy, who dost continually pour thy benefits upon us. Age after age, the living wait upon thee, and find that of thy faithfulness there is no end, and that thy care is unfailing and unwearying. We praise thee that the mystery by which we are encompassed is a mystery of infinite goodness. We praise thee for the order and constancy of nature, for the beauty and bounty of the world, for day and night, summer and winter, seed time and harvest, for the varied gifts of loveliness and use which every season brings. We give thee thanks for all the comfort and joy of life, for our homes and all our home blessings, for our friends and all the pure pleasure of social life, for the love and sympathy and goodwill of men. We thank thee for all the work we are enabled to do and the truth we are permitted to learn, for whatever of good there has been in our past lives, and for all the hopes and aspirations which lead us on toward better things. We praise thee for all the blessings of civilization, wise government, and just legislation, for the land in which we live with its great ideals of liberty and brotherhood, for education and all the blessings we enjoy through literature, art, and science. We thank thee for all true knowledge of thee and the world in which we live, and the life of truth and righteousness and divine communion to which thou hast called us, for prophets and apostles and all earnest seekers after truth, for all lovers and helpers of mankind, and for all godly and gifted men and women. We thank thee for the gift of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and all the helps and hopes which are ours as his disciples, for the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, for communion with thee, the Father of our spirits, and for the light and peace which come through trust and obedience. We acknowledge, as the gift of thy love, all the discipline of life, the tasks and trials by which we are trained to patience, self-knowledge, and self-conquest, and brought into closer sympathy with our suffering brethren, the troubles which have lifted us nearer thee and drawn us deeper into deeper fellowship with Jesus Christ. We praise thee for the sacred and tender ties which bind us to the unseen world, for the faith which dispels the shadows of earth and fills the saddest and the last moments of life with the light of an immortal hope. God of all grace, we have praised thee with our lips. Grant that we may also praise thee in consecrated and faithful lives. Amen. Let us stand and sing.
Thank you.
When the pilgrims reached these shores, Governor Bradford records that they gave God thanks for his mercies and their manifold deliverances. Let us now hear the proclamation of thanksgiving, issued by the government of Massachusetts in 1676. The Holy God, having by a long and continual series of his afflictive dispensations in and by the present war with the heathen natives of this land, written and brought to pass bitter things against his own covenant people in this wilderness, yet so that we evidently discern that in the midst of his judgments, he hath remembered mercy, having remembered his footstool in the day of his sore displeasure against us for our sins, with many singular intimations of his fatherly compassion and regard, reserving many of our towns from desolation threatened and attempted by the enemy, and giving us especially of late with many of our confederates many signal advantages against them, without such disadvantage to ourselves as formerly we have been sensible of, if it be the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. It certainly bespeaks our positive thankfulness when our enemies are in any measure disappointed or destroyed. And fearing the Lord should take notice under so many intimations of his returning mercy, we should be found an insensible people, as not standing before him with thanksgiving, as well as lading him with our complaints in the time of pressing afflictions. The council has thought meet to appoint and set apart this day as a day of solemn thanksgiving and praise to God for such his goodness and favor, many particulars of which mercy might be instanced, but we doubt not those who are sensible of God's afflictions have been as diligent to espy him returning to us, and that the Lord may behold us as a people offering praise and thereby glorifying him. The council doth commend it to the respective ministers, elders, and people of this jurisdiction, solemnly and seriously to keep the same beseeching, that being persuaded by the mercies of God, we may all, even this whole people, offer up our bodies and souls as a living and acceptable service unto God by Jesus Christ.
Brothers and sisters of this congregation, now there is time left for contribution. Wherefore, as God hath prospered you, so freely offer.
Let us pray. We could give thee nothing, O thou great giver of every good and perfect gift, if thou hadst not first given it to us. Grant us grace so to do with what for the moment is to be ours, that we may please thee with what is eternally thine. Amen. Let us rise and sing our closing hymn. Thank you. And let us pray. Since it is of thy mercy, O gracious Father, that another day is added to our lives, we here dedicate both our souls and our bodies to thee and thy service in a sober, righteous, and godly life, in which resolution do thou, O merciful God, confirm and strengthen us, that as we grow in age, we may grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.